Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Roto-World Football Podcast. As you know, it's the most important podcast in the universe. Hope you had a happy holiday weekend. It's the first of two holidays during this final part of the season. My goodness, this fantasy football season has flown by, and we thank you for your support through 12 weeks so far and more, obviously, and more to come. First of all, check out this podcast. If you have never subscribed and you enjoy it for any moment, like a millisecond, hit that subscribe button. You know we're on Spotify. You know we're on Apple Podcasts. You know we're on Stitcher. All those great platforms. We also have another episode every Thursday and Friday. So three per week plus Roto-World Live every Sunday, noon Eastern, kickoff show, pregame show. We preview matchups. We preview games. We get you ready for your optimal lineup, which is pivotal now during the season. Again, noon Eastern on Roto-World's YouTube page. Other than that, oh, go check out the beta site. If you just go to rotoworld.com, you can see at the top of the page, it says the Rotoworld beta site. It's an update we're rolling out probably after the new year. At some point, there's been a lot of positive feedback, some negative, obviously. But we appreciate all your feedback so far. It's helping, and I'm passing as much of it as along. So if you want to tweet me at Josh Norris, you can find me there and just send me your feedback, and I'll pass it along. Okay, let's move on to Ray Sumlin, because Ray joins me every Tuesday for this episode. Ray, I don't think I mentioned this, is week 13, number 13. Are you superstitious at all?
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. Like, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in like the supernatural?
No.
At all? Like, you don't believe, no. Believe in aliens?
Well, I believe that there are, it would be absurd to think that in the vast expanse of the universe that no other rock developed some kind of life form, but I don't believe that we've seen them. The laws of physics suggest that's not likely. I know I'm a downer. I know I'm a super downer when people start talking about it this at parties. All I do is just stay quiet. I just sit there and I go, and I just nod my head and go, all right, people can believe in whatever they like to believe that helps them get through the day.
Are you like firm in that sense? Or you're just like, oh, it could possibly be.
No. They exist. Okay. I think it would be absurd to say they don't exist because there's a lot of other planets in the universe.
Correct.
But I don't believe that we have met any of them.
Oh, and okay. So it's not like Men in Black style, obviously.
No, I find it unlikely that we will. I hope we do. I think it's interesting. There was a object that came into the solar system recently, which was very oddly shaped, and some scientists speculated that it was like a light sail that from another civilization, an alien civilization, and that piqued my interest. I hope they're right. That would be awesome. Yeah. It's probably not true, but I hope they're right. That'd be really cool.
Is the only way we'll meet them is if they do tournaments for fighters throughout multiple universes?
Yeah, I mean, universe 6 and 7 get together and have a big tournament that we have to send our greatest fighter, which is obviously Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson.
then we will. Not John Jones. No.
Dwayne "The Rock", the Rock Johnson. Then we will maybe we'll get to see it.
All right. I lost people in that last comment, but it was worth it. Okay, Ray, let's move on to the waivers to help people in their fantasy lineups. We'll start with what happened in Jacksonville, okay? Leonard Fournette has come to save your fantasy team if you picked him in the top 10 overall picks this August. In the last three games, well, the previous two, he had combined for 59 touches. I think he had about 20 this past Sunday, and that was in three quarters of action. Then he got ejected for running off the bench, chasing down Shaq Lawson, and just cold cocking him in his face. Now he's suspended for this week's game. I guess even on appeal, it would still, no matter what, Ray, be for this Sunday's game against the Colts. Is that correct?
I believe I saw that they're going to hear it on Tuesday. So yeah, it's if it holds up, which I assume it would, it's going to be for this week's game.
Okay. So with that said, Ray, it wasn't a cloudy backfield. Now it is a clouded backfield because we've seen T.J. Yeldon get a lot of work and passing down work. We've seen Carlos Hyde be traded for and then be used for basically like one game, and that's it. And now Cody Kessler is at quarterback. So, Ray, how are you handling this backfield on the waiver wire?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to know what to do. TJ Yeldon is actually rostered in 60% of Yahoo League, so he's not eligible for the article, although I do talk about him a little bit, because it's tricky to know how to handle this situation. I mean, in the only Carlos Hyde game without Leonard Fournette, Hyde got the start, but he touched the ball just 6 times. He did not catch either of his targets, and he played 9 fewer snaps than TJ Yeldon. Now, that was just 2 weeks after he joined the team. There were some script things in the second half that might have tilted it more Yeldon's way. But that kind of, you look at that and you go, all right, I'm not going to come out and expect Hyde to get Fournette's workload. But you mentioned it with this quarterback change with Cody Kessler in there, probably in the same game managing role that they've been asking Blake Bortles to do recently. They're certainly going to want to ride the running game. They traded for Hyde for a reason. I think that this game, if they're able to keep it close, and I mean, the Colts were able to just destroy this defense in the first half of that first meeting they had. I mean, just really, that was almost like it wasn't the start because they'd already lost a lot of games, but it was one of the first times you went and looked at that Jaguars defense goes, oh, something's really, really wrong here. And so if they're able to do that, then maybe it's a lot more Yeldon. But I think we're going to see more Hyde in this game than we did in that non-Fournette game earlier before the bye. But I still am not getting that excited about him. I think he's probably going to be something like a flex play. I'll view Yeldon basically the same way. So I'm not excited about either of them, but obviously if you need a starter, if you need someone to put in your lineup, both of those guys are going to be options this week.
And I didn't even mention that we also have a new play caller here for the Jaguars.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, if I can whittle it down to this, Ray, you're telling me that if it's a positive or neutral game script, and we certainly don't expect to be positive against the Colts, that would favor Carlos Hyde.
I would think so.
If it's super negative, which it has a strong chance of being, then TJ Yeldon is the preferred play because we know this offense just loves their dump offs, and he does a very good job with those, just racking up 3, 4, 5 yards at multiple clips per drive. Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm viewing it, and. Yeah. I think that makes
sense.
It's
just for one game, too. And it's an important game, obviously. It's week 13. It's the final game of your regular season. But that throws a wrench in it as well.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's move on. Austin Eckler, if the Jaguars running backs are on your waiver wire and Austin Eckler is on your waiver wire, Austin Eckler is the preferred selection.
100%. Yeah, no doubt about that. Eckler, I do want to mention him because I assume that he'll get talked about a lot. He was rostered in 70%. Of Yahoo leagues. He's rostered in, I would imagine, all competitive leagues. Although I will say this, I had him on my drop list last week. I did, and I very clearly said in this, and it's very important for me to point this out as many times as I possibly can. The drop list is not players I think you have to drop. The drop list are players who, if you need a roster spot in a shallow league, which we can talk about why shallow leagues are better than deeper leagues, because they actually force you to make decisions in the future for all you deep league snobs out there. But if shallow leagues, then they're option. And that's because before this, he was just a handcuff. And guess what? That handcuff actually, unlike most handcuffs, that handcuff actually looks like it's going to pay off. I mean, Eckler, in that first game, that other game without Gordon, he wasn't very productive, but they only ran 44 plays in that game. That game was against the Titans. I believe I said Oakland. They only ran 44 plays in that game. So that wasn't, you know, that didn't really give him a lot of opportunity to get out there and get touches. He still dominated the work. He still dominated the snaps over Justin Jackson. I'd expect that to continue. They get the Steelers this week, which we'll see how good of a matchup that is. We'll see if Stephon Tuitt's able to play. But after that, they get the Bengals and the Chiefs. So this is a pretty good time for him to be getting in the starting lineup. I think if Gordon's going to miss these next 3 games, that Eckler's going to be a starter for most teams in those games. So, yeah, if he's available on your wire, easily the number one ad. At this late stage of the year, use your number one waiver priority on him. Go and get Eckler.
Okay, let's move on to Chris Godwin. I don't even know what Chris Godwin did last weekend, Ray. I know that Adam Humphries caught a touchdown. I know that Cameron Brate caught a touchdown. Jameis Winston had 0 turnovers, and now he gets just an awful Panthers defense. And so it should be a very good matchup for Chris Godwin.
Yeah, he only caught 4 passes for 42 yards, but this isn't about Chris Godwin. This is about DeSean Jackson, who is dealing with a thumb injury. He was forced to visit a specialist on Monday. He's been playing through that injury, so perhaps he continues to do that. And that's kind of one of the tricky things about doing this column so early in the week is we don't really know the injury situations as we you know, has happened a couple times to me last week. But if DeSean Jackson is forced to miss time, then all of a sudden you really like Chris Godwin. You mentioned the matchup against Carolina. That's obviously a great spot. The schedule after that's not so good, but this is obviously a great spot for him. And he's actually been really productive over the last few games. He hasn't been getting a lot of targets, but he's caught all 14 of his targets for 195 yards. So he's been productive. This is one of the best passing games in the league, at least most productive passing games in the league. And if DeSean Jackson is out, Adam Humphries is there and still a concern. But if DeSean Jackson is out, I think you would trust him to have a much more consistent and higher target share than he has in the past. You put that all together, and I think that he could be a starter for most teams this week if DeSean Jackson does indeed sit.
Let's talk about Draft.com. Draft.com is great. Draft.com is unlike any DFS platform you use out there, because instead of using a salary cap and, you know, everyone has the same chalk lineup and blah, 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 outside of one or two players, you know who everyone else is going to play. You draft players. That's fun, because that's what you love for season long. And guess you can do that each and every week now on Draft.com. And if you go to Draft.com/RotoWorld or download the app in the App Store, Google Play, and use promo code RotoWorld, you get a free $3 entry. Free is great. Free is them giving you experiences. Let's put it that way. And again, you can use that $3 entry for a 6-person draft. I see one right here. $3 can turn into $16.20 easily. Drafts start every single minute as soon as they fill. So go and check out our friends over at draft.com, draft.com/RotoWorld, or enter promo code RotoWorld. Let's keep it moving with Josh Doctson. Ray, why did you want me to write down Josh Doctson's name?
Well, because he has 17 targets in the last two games. He has 15 of Colt McCoy's 50 targets so far this season. That's 30% target share. He started 10 times against the Cowboys. It was a tough matchup. He caught 6 passes for 66 yards. You know, we looked at this Alex Smith getting hurt as a bad thing for Washington's offense, and it probably was on balance. It might have actually been a really good thing for Josh Doctson. I mean, nobody takes fewer chances than Alex Smith. There probably was a better way to say that, but I'll stick with that one. And Colt McCoy's come in and actually targeted Josh Doctson. And we saw it in a few kind of tight window contested situations against Dallas on Thanksgiving. I don't know when Jamison Crowder's coming back. It doesn't seem like ever. It's going to be anytime soon or even ever. I mean, we'll see what Trey Quinn's able to do. Maurice Harris has kind of fallen out of the rotation. I think Doctson, you know, has been very disappointing to this point, but he at least has a shot here to finish the season as a number one receiver, getting a pretty good target share. And we could see, you know, what he's able to do with that work. I remain, let's say, hopefully skeptical of what he's going to do. But I think that in a deeper league with if he's going to get that kind of target share, especially since they play the Eagles this week, you at least have to be interested.
Look, if we can get like a final four games from Josh Doctson to end the season, his third year, while he's already an older prospect, that would be good. That would be a positive trend for the 2019 season, Ray. We even knew like in college, Josh Doctson was a contested catch guy, and he hasn't even been like fantastic at that. I know with Colt McCoy in the last few games, maybe he has been, but like in general, he hasn't even done that to a great degree. So it's one to watch, I guess, the rest of the way. Speaking of contested catches, Ray, David Moore has been great with that, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I mentioned him last week in the column. I don't remember if we talked about him or not, but I had him in the column, and I've been mentioning his usage has been trending up as of late. He had a weird first half thing. It was almost like he was benched in the first half. There was a receiver catching passes whose name I don't remember. I didn't know who he was. I still don't remember his name. But he came back in the second half and just absolutely dominated, caught 4 passes for 103 yards and a just massive touchdown in their win over the aforementioned Panthers. I think volume's always going to be a concern for him because of the offense they play in, but his usage is really trending up. Russell Wilson shows no signs of slowing down, which is just, it's astounding what he's doing on a per-throw basis right now. And so I think Moore is probably going to get enough targets to be useful in deeper leagues down the stretch.
Ray, this is a quick episode, but hit me with your deep cuts. We're already there.
Well, I already made it to deep cuts. So I mentioned at the top Justin Jackson when I was talking about Eckler. I don't think that it's very likely he hits. I think it will probably be Eckler working as the clear number one with Jackson kind of mixing in. But he was the number two in that first game that Gordon was out. He also handled 7 carries against the Cardinals last week. All of them came in the second half, but that still happened. So it's worth taking a look at in deeper leagues. And another name to look at in deeper league is Dante Pettis. This could mean nothing if Marquise Goodwin is able to return this week, but Pettis saw receiver high 7 targets against the Bucs. He turned that into 4 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. They play the Seahawks this week, which is not a daunting matchup by any stretch. So Pettis could be a deep league option this week if Marquise Goodwin remains sidelined.
This was a sprint, sir. First time you and I have done that in quite a long time.
Do you want to talk more about aliens?
I doubt I will ever meet one for sure. But it's one where, as you mentioned, there are so many, and I don't even understand space. You know, like someone could tell me something about space and alternate universes and wormholes and black holes, and I would just nod my head like it's the person at the mechanic telling me what part my car needs to be fixed. You know, like I just don't understand those things. I just take them at people telling the truth because they seem smart and they wear glasses and white lab coats. You know,
how did you handle Interstellar when you watched?
Yeah, I went to go see it alone, which is probably like the worst thing to do because you just like want to talk to someone afterwards. Right.
But where did he go and where is she? Freaks. I guess that's spoiler alerty. Sorry for spoiling a 7-year-old movie.
It's not 7 years. It's like 4 years.
It's like not just 4 years.
It's 4 years.
There's no way.
4 or 5 years. Yeah. We'll look it up. Okay, Ray, that's it. Let's get out of here. Again, check out this podcast every Thursday, every Friday, every Tuesday. And I'll be back on RotoWorld Live with Ray, Rich, Evan, and Pat this Sunday, noon Eastern. See you all then. Later.
It is 4 years. I feel I have to say at the end, it was 4 years. Congratulations.